like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a duo that is new to me, really, and new to the podcast as well. I don't think I've talked to either of you over the ridiculous amount of time I've been doing this show, so I'm glad to have you on. And it's interesting because we're covering a topic that is maybe a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I mean, I talk about all different kinds of music on this show, from country to death metal to hip-hop to jazz to classical, but electronic music, it comes up, you know, from time to time, but it's definitely not sort of my wheelhouse, really. There's certain things I like, but I'm not an expert and certainly haven't delved too deeply into the genre. I know it's an umbrella genre, and we'll get into that. That covers so many different things. But I think the best way to start this off, and we can, you know, find out about what you do, is for you to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about what the project is and what it's all about.
You want to go first, Jordan?
Sure. My name's Jordan. I started making music around like high school times, towards the end of high school times, and just sort of played around with it for a while, and then started getting a little bit more serious with it a couple years after I met Nolan.
Okay.
It's been a pretty good time. The way that me and Nolan met was at a Super Smash Brothers tournament.
Okay.
So we got connected on that first, and then we realized that we both made music on our own time, just playing around on the computer.
Sure.
And then one day we just started making music together, and then did a project, our first project, which was Side Effects Include.
Okay.
But I'll let Nolan know.
For sure, yeah. Go ahead, Nolan, and then we'll get into what you guys do together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My name's Nolan. I've been, I guess, making music my whole life to some degree. I've always liked fiddling around with keyboards and stuff. I went through school playing the trumpet and almost ended up going into music for university, but decided not to. And now here I am in grad school studying sociology.
And making music.
It's not, I wouldn't advise doing grad school and making music at the same time.
Right.
Unless you're committed wholeheartedly to doing both at the same time. I don't think it's a good idea. But I started producing in FL Studio in about 2017, I think. And the reason I chose FL Studio is because I played the video game Undertale, and I found out that the guy who made that game used FL Studio to make all of the music in the game.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And that just inspired me, and then it kind of just never stopped making music. And then I met Jordan, and then suddenly there was an incentive to release music.
Cool. And then this project, I mean, you put something out, I guess it was last year, right? Your first EP. And then now you have a new one that's sort of imminent. I'm going to ask the question that everyone hates answering right off the bat here, is how do you define the style of music you play? And the reason everyone hates this question is because it's not as easy as it was even 10 years ago. There's so many different sort of subgenres and offshoots and all these other things that people use to define their music. I mean, you know, is there sort of a Coles Notes way you would explain what it is you do to someone who is maybe hasn't seen you in a few years, learned you have a project, and wants to know what it's all about?
This project was well, we went into it thinking we wanted to do drum and bass. So I think I would ultimately call it drum and bass.
Okay.
But it's definitely like different types of styles, different types of subgenres of drum and bass. You got like all types. Like you got like really heavy sort of drum and bass where you sort of like noisier,
yeah,
influence, and then you got some really chill stuff in there too. So there's you get like a mixture of stuff, but it's with our spin with it. So yeah.
What is your spin then? I guess. I mean, what do you do as a collectively that sort of puts your own stamp on this?
I guess yeah. Nolan, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I think so. The first project was kind of our first time really trying to put our distinctive styles together.
Okay.
And I don't think each of us. I don't think each of us has a vision individually for how we want to make music. We kind of just make whatever we feel like making, and that could involve any kind of, you know, generic inspiration. But I think we like to mix some acoustic with the electronic stuff.
Right.
We mixed samples in with you know, What do you want to call it? Like handwritten MIDI or mouse written MIDI? Yeah, I think I would call it just like eccentric, ear candy, electronic dance music probably.
Okay.
That first project was drum and bass, but I think since then we've branched out quite a bit.
Well, maybe a better way to sort of approach that question then is what makes the two of you mesh well together? I mean, because, you know, a lot of people who are making electronic and electronic tinged music are doing it very solo. I mean, there's definitely people doing it in groups, but I'd say 90% of the people I've had on the show who've dealt with any kind of electronic music are solo artists. So there's obviously something between the two of you that it fits well, that you sort of feel is a good combination, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think personally, it's just we both get along really well. And I think that definitely helps, but also we're sort of both like people pleasers too, sort of extent. So, and that in itself kind of like pushes you out of your comfort zone. And I feel like we both kind of push each other out of our comfort zone, in a comfortable way, you know, like not too much. And I feel like we definitely just grown just doing our own solo stuff on the side, but yeah.
Is there any kind of competitive element to it? Like, are you trying to sort of one up each other? And then, you know, now that you sort of know how each other works and all of that stuff.
I think there's, I don't know if it's competitive, but the way we started this project and the way we've continued to make music since then is through, and this was Jordan's idea, but we'll have what we call a beat week every now and then, where we once a day we'll have to spend, I don't know, an hour just making anything, make an idea, make a beat, you know, play a riff on your ukulele or play a melody, and then upload it to the shared Google Drive folder, and then it's like this obligation we have to each other to make something every day for a certain period of time. And so the first time we did that, everything we made in that first week, or I guess everything that ended up on our first EP was from that 1 week of making beats.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I guess I don't know if there's a competitive bent to it, but I think there's definitely a sense of holding each other accountable. And like, we're accountable to each other, which I think is ironic when you think about the people pleasing aspect of everything.
Yeah, for sure.
That we push each other in this way so hard.
Yeah.
With that, what you just explained about the, you know, the sort of forcing each other to create, how much of that have you, do you have like hours and hours of that stuff now over the past little while that you've been doing? Is that an ongoing sort of way of creating between the two of you, or was it just sort of a one-time thing?
It's definitely one of the main kind of like collaborative times we have.
Okay.
It's usually something that we do online. We usually don't, it's rare actually to be in the same room with Nolan and make music. But that, the week kind of was built from that like sort of distance, because he's in Toronto right now and I'm in St. Anne.
That makes it difficult. That's a bit of a problem.
Just a bit. Even before when Nolan was living in Winnipeg, we were still making music like that too. So like the first week he was in Winnipeg, but then we've had two more weeks after that. And this EP that's coming out in July, the second week was like a good chunk of those songs were from that second week. Okay. So
that was kind of where I was headed with that question too. Yeah. I guess like, how do you know when something is going to work? I mean, what are you listening for in each other's, input, I guess, that you think is going to be a good piece for the project? I mean, obviously you're throwing ideas at each other. Not all of them are going to work, but surely there are some things that sort of, you know, light bulb goes off. This is what you want to pursue further. Like, are there sort of obvious signs of something is working for the two of you?
I think, I think it's very emotional.
Okay.
I think there's an experience you have. Well, maybe any musician has this experience, but especially if you produce in your bedroom and you're making electronic music, where you get a beat to a certain point and you've made a drop a certain way, or you've created a certain interesting moment. And you just want to jump up and scream out of excitement because you've made something interesting, and it's, I don't know, it makes you feel a certain way.
Right.
So I think There are times when Jordan will send me a file and I'll listen to it, and it's just like, I don't think we should change this at all, and I think we should just we need to show this to the world, and this is gonna be Jordan's this is gonna be his extravaganza. This is gonna be how Jordan becomes the next Skrillex or something. I don't know.
Right.
So I think I think. But then at the same time, there is one song on the first EP where we're banging our heads against the wall to get it done.
Yeah.
And that one we just kind of had to pull the plug on, I think. But I think when you feel like it's one of the best things Jordan's ever made, I think are things that I genuinely feel like are the best songs I've ever heard.
Well, that's a good problem to have, right? To be working with someone who's making that stuff. Yeah. Well, I guess one thing you said about a minute ago about the emotional part of it, this is something I always love hearing about electronic music, is when people bring emotion into it, because I think there's a misconception that electronic music using computers, it's very emotionless. I mean, it's not. Obviously, there's many ways people can make it sound emotional, but I think it's more of a challenge, right? When someone's, singing and playing piano or whatever, or playing guitar, there's that sort of that... I don't want to call it soul, because electronic music can have soul as well, but it's people perceive it, I guess, as being more sort of human. Whereas, you got a computer, there's this idea that it's robotic, it's cold. Is it a challenge for you? Like, I guess, where do you hear emotion in electronic music, and how do you express that? Because most music is made out of some kind of feeling, right? You're feeling whatever that feeling is, you're expressing that musically. So how do you guys go about channeling feelings into something that is seen as feelingless?
It's really all just sounds to me.
Okay.
Like, when it comes from like electronic music to country music, like me and Nolan, we do listen to like a lot of different types of music, and we have like moments where we bounce different songs from different artists from different genres, and we constantly listen to that. For me, it's all kind of muddy, and I feel like it's all one thing to me, but it really, I feel like you could just look at it as like frequencies.
Okay.
And really, if you hit the right frequency with stuff, you're bound to get some sort of emotion. And then if you line that up with a couple of drum hits and bass plucks, and then you got like a vibe, and then a feeling to it. But you can get feeling out of a lot of stuff, and when it comes to like it being like electronic or like acoustic or whatever. Really, at the end of the day, a lot of the stuff gets recorded onto a computer.
That's a good point, yeah.
And then just, it usually gets quantized. Like, there's a lot of editing when it comes to a lot of music, but that's just kind of how I see it, so.
Well, fair enough, for sure. And I mean, that is interesting that it sort of gets filtered through a bunch of electronic stuff anyway, regardless, even if it's a guy sitting in a room with an acoustic guitar, it's probably had some kind of, that's, I never really thought about that actually, but that's cool.
Thank you.
the sound has changed a bit on this upcoming EP. That, you know, drum and bass was sort of the main focus for the previous one. Whether people have heard the previous one or not, what can they expect with this one that's coming out in July sonically? Like, what is, I guess, how has the sound of the group changed between EP1 to EP2?
I think we're slowing down and chilling out a lot more in this one. But at the same time, it's a lot more dynamic. And I guess you can see that, I mean, in one sense, in the tempo, because there's one breakcore track, but then we also have a couple tracks that are really slow and meditative, I think way more than previously.
Okay.
A couple of the tracks are very poppy, which we haven't really done before. We have a track called Troll Stomping on the first EP that I think is our poppiest one on that one. But this one, I think, has a lot more kind of pop elements to it.
Okay.
And I think that's even in the structure of the songs too. Lots of, I guess, well, one of the songs is kind of a love song, isn't it, Jordan?
Yeah, I guess so. Just a little bit.
Is that pop sort of a leaning? Is that something you did deliberately, or is that just sort of what has organically come out of this collaboration after the, you know, past couple of years?
Well, we listen to, I feel like we listen to a lot of the, like a lot of the music that I was talking about that we're sharing back and forth was a lot of pop music.
Okay.
And a lot of hyper pop. I think me and Nolan have the appreciation for it for sure. You know, I feel like when it came to the beat week there, it was that second beat week. We didn't really have like a, we went into the first one thinking drum and bass. The second one was kind of like a free for all almost.
Okay.
Like we didn't want to be tied down to it, to anything. And then I think just naturally it just became what it became. Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
I should also add, I think two of the tracks on the new EP actually are not from Beat Weeks. So one of them is arranged from a live session we did when Jordan came to visit me in Toronto for the first time. We had a couple of electronic machines, drum machines and synths that we hooked up together and synced up and then did a little
cool
10-minute session that became a 5-minute track. And then another song on the EP is actually the first song we ever collaborated on together. And the way we did that was, it was the second time I ever met Jordan in person. He stopped by my place. It was, I think, shortly before the COVID lockdown started. But he dropped off a paper bag, and in the bag was a USB full of a bunch of beats he had made, and a weed vape pen and some vape juice. But then, yeah, I found this beat on there that I really liked, and I kind of messed with it a bit. And then we let it cook for probably 5 years, and then unearthed it this year and decided to release it.
Did you do anything to it, or did you leave it as is from that 5 years ago state?
Well, we had I had the initial idea, and then I had sent it to Nolan, and then Nolan bounced a whole bunch of tracks back to me in that sort of trade, and he had put that song his sort of spin on it in that folder.
Okay.
And I had completely, so much stuff started happening at that point that I had completely forgotten about the folder. And then about like 2 to 3 years later, I was like, oh, this folder. And then I started going through the song, and then at the very end, I was like, this sounds familiar. And then I was like, what? You did such a good job with it. So what ended up happening was we made like a nice version of both of those ideas together, and then, you know, made it cohesive and made it one full song, and it's probably one of my favorite one of my favorite moments on that song for sure, and I'm excited for people to hear it. So
cool.
Yeah,
and you mentioned the live session aspect of it. I know that when you release this EP, there's a live performance happening as well, right? So how does, I mean, obviously you're in different cities now. That's going to change for the show necessarily, I imagine.
Yeah.
How often have you guys performed live with this project? Is it a frequent thing? I mean, I know being in different cities is not going to help things at all, but what's your live experience?
Live experience? We had one show that we played.
Okay.
And it was at Burry Bush, the first Burry Bush, which is coming up again in on July 18th. That's the show we're going to release the EP on.
Okay.
So it's going to be Burry Bush 2. And that was the one show that we played. Then I had another show with Peacocking when Nolan had initially moved away there.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So what we're doing right now is we're setting up the show virtually right now, and then practicing, rehearsing on our own terms, and then we're gonna come together towards the show there and really iron out the whole process of everything. And
cool.
It should really work out well. So.
Cause
I think because of its electronic nature, this is maybe a question that I wouldn't ask another type of band, but how much of the live show is, how much of it is improvised? Is any of it improvised, or is it all very strictly the songs as written? Because, I mean, you know, you got someone, again, to use the example of a band with guitar, bass, drums, whatever, there is the possibility for them mid-song to just start jamming or something, right? There is with electronic stuff too, but again, with the sort of, you know, maybe false perception of the rigidity of it, how much of this is sort of by the book and how much of it gives you space to experiment?
Well, we have backing tracks, and but I guess the freedom that you get to improvise and play with it kind of comes in your preparation of the backing tracks.
That makes sense,
So, yeah, so, and on top of that, we do have some acoustic instruments that we're playing. Jordan plays the glockenspiel, although I don't know if he's going to be playing it in this show. And I play uke on a lot of tracks.
Okay.
Yeah, now, he's thinking about it.
Now you've said it. You put it out in the world now. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to make an appearance now.
He played it at our first show, so I think he should play it again.
Cool. Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
That's,
And, you know, there's singing and there's a track we have that is kind of vulgar and might have a lot of improv, you know, ad libs and riffs and stuff like that.
Cool.
But yeah, beyond that, it's like, you know, I when you're playing any sort of instruments, like we've got synths, we've got uke, we've got maybe glockenspiel, we'll see. if you're integrating the those kinds of instruments, obviously there's going to be room for improvisation. But even on top of that, I think with the backing tracks, a lot of I think especially if you're a DJ, it's a lot of fun to play with knobs and buttons.
Right,
so
of course.
If you give yourself more knobs and buttons to turn and press, then of course there's going to be room for improvisation in that way.
Definitely,
and maybe more room for emotion to come out. Who knows?
Well, yeah, on the spot emotion, right? It's what you're feeling in the moment can happen. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this is happening on the 18th of July, right? The release of the EP and the show. The good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it now, and then that's imminently happening, or they could hear it 5 years from now, because apparently I can never stop doing the show, so it'll be around forever. You know, if someone's hearing it at any time in past, present, or future, what's the best way to find out more about you guys? Maybe it's the first time they're hearing you and they want to find your music and check out what you're up to. Where would you direct someone online to find your stuff, hear your music, find out about shows if they're happening, that kind of thing?
I'd say the best place is our Instagram, Peacocking Music, at Peacocking Music. It has our link tree there, so it has all of our recent links to our music and we have our old EP there, Side Effects Include, and our last single that released, Bug Spray. And then see what we're doing there, and we post videos once in a while on there. I got my own personal one. I'm on OG Burry.
Okay.
And then Nolan's got Noli Pants, at Noli Pants, so...
Right on. So Instagram's the spot. And I guess once this comes out, this will presumably be available on all the various crazy ways people listen to music these days, like all the, you know, 900 different platforms.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then do you want to just plug the show one more time before I let you go here, just the details of the gig and where people can come and check you out live?
Rock and roll. Well,
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's going to be on July 18th. The show is called Burry Bush 2. We're playing a lot of the new songs on our EP there, and some of our old ones. And we got this new band, Ghost Cassette, that's going to be
Cassette
playing
Ghost.
Too.
Cassette Ghost.
Cassette Ghost. Sorry,
good name.
My bad. Cassette Ghost. And then we got Cola Pop. That's going to be opening up for all of us. So
cool.
I think it's really gonna be a good night. Hopefully, if you guys aren't doing anything, come out and check it out.
And if you have
the handsome daughter.
And if it's 5 years from now, then go back and see if you can find a video or something, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, exactly.
Right on.
So it is at the handsome daughter. I do want to put that too. Handsome daughter, July 18th. sometime in the evening.
Awesome. Okay. And I'll link to your Instagram and shit too, so people can try to find you from there. Awesome. Great. That's cool. I'm glad to hear you guys are collaborating. I mean, it's always hard to collaborate with someone when they're in different cities, right? So it's cool that this is actually working out to the way you can actually have a release show and you can do it in person, and it's cool to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I think I'm really happy. I don't know if they're really happy.
You gotta experience feeling happiness. Not actually thinking you're happy. I think often someone stops and says, well, I think I'm really happy. I don't know if they're really happy. When you're happy, you're feeling you're happy. You're not thinking you're happy. I do think the words good and bad are dead, so I'd hate to set it up this way. But just anything that's good without the connotation of a value judgment of good. I mean, we all know what's good inside. What's good is pure. What more to the human experience is there than that?
Baby, I know you're feeling greedy.